Chapter 9. Once again, the star flares faded, and the Vigilant was back in space normal.
Leo Aeon Heartworld bearing 20 degrees port, 12 nadir,
Octremo announced from the helm.
Arrived precisely on target, as Chiss Skywalkers always do.
Acknowledged,
Arlani said, suppressing a smile at that last definitely non-standard comment. The entire bridge crew had quietly seethed at Ilparg's disparaging comments about Ciri's navigation back at Urch. Fleet officers and warriors held their Skywalkers dear, but most of them had kept their feelings to themselves. Octremo, who as helm officer had naturally worked the closest with the girl, had apparently decided to risk reprimand in order to throw a small dig at the ambassador. His protective attitude probably wasn't hurt by the fact that his Drock family were strong rivals to Ilparg's own Boadil family. Not that Ilparg probably noticed the comment. He was standing beside Arlani's command chair, his eyes on the distant planet, his mind clearly elsewhere than the Vigilance Bridge. Arlani looked back at the planet, and the ships clustered around it, the brief moment of amusement disappearing. Most of the vessels out there were undoubtedly Leo Aeon. Freighters, patrol ships, two low-orbit Blue Dock repair stations, possibly a warship or two. The old records suggested there was at least one Black Dock in much higher orbit, raising the possibility of another warship in the area. Though if it was undergoing repairs, it could probably be ignored. The question was whether there were any Nicardoon ships in the mix, there to keep an eye on the locals.
Sweep complete,
Senior Commander Abek Leonov called from the sensor station.
No matches to the Nicardoon ship we saw at Urch.
Which didn't prove anything, Arlani knew. Aside from the oversized viewports and the particular placement of the main weapons clusters, none of the Nicardoon ships she and Thrawn had run into looked exactly like any of the others. Certainly Yiv didn't seem to go with any kind of standard silhouette.
Traffic control is hailing us, Admiral,
Wutro said.
Never mind them,
Ilparg said before Arlani could reply.
Get me someone in the regime diplomatic office. If they had anything to do with that Urch business, I want to have it out here and now.
A moment, Ambassador,
Arlani said, looking over her shoulder at the bridge hatch. Thrawn was apparently running late.
We're waiting for Senior Captain Thrawn to arrive.
What do we need him for?
Because he's the one who can tell us if there are Nicardoon ships out there.
The obvious reply ran through Arlani's mind.
Because he has a feel for tactics that will be crucial if this thing blows up. Because he's got a track record in combat situations that most Chiss Commodores and Admirals would give their blood firstborn for.
But she had more tact than Commander Octremo. She also had none of his family rivalries to deal with.
Because I want him here, and I'm the Admiral,
she said instead. Ilparg made a little huffing noise.
Fine,
he said.
But he'd better not be long.
The hatch slid open, and Thrawn stepped onto the bridge.
My apologies, Admiral,
he said as he crossed to Arlani and Ilparg.
Apologies, Ambassador. My studies took longer than expected.
What studies were those, Senior Captain?
Ilparg asked suspiciously.
Tactical data, Arlani put in.
Tactical data?
Ilparg repeated scornfully.
Is that what the expansionary fleet calls art these days?
Arlani clenched her teeth.
The first rule of strategy is to know your enemy, Ambassador, she said. That includes their battle tactics, but also their history, their philosophy, and yes, sometimes even their art. Except the first two,
Ilparg said, the disdain still in his voice.
The third is of little to no value. However, now that Senior Captain Thrawn has graced us with his presence, Perhaps you'd be good enough to contact the diplomatic office as I requested.
Certainly, Ambassador,
Utro said, stepping to Ilparg's side and deftly easing him away from Aralani and Thrawn.
We can hail them better from the comm station. This way, please.
Thank you for trying, Thrawn said softly as he came up beside Aralani.
Don't worry about it,
Aralani advised.
Sometimes it's good to have your talents underestimated, though not when your career is being evaluated,
she added silently to herself.
What did you find?
Our Leo AOI art files are extremely limited, Thrawn said. But they should be adequate to our needs.
Glad to hear it,
Aralani waved toward the viewport.
There's your canvas. Paint me something.
For a moment, Thrawn stood silently, his eyes tracking across the scene in front of them. Aralani shifted her attention between him and the tactical display, wondering when the Leo AI were going to make their move. If the Nicardoon were here, this group must have heard about the Urch incident by now. Could the Urchivki have somehow failed to identify the Vigilant before it escaped from their encirclement? Impossible. Could they perhaps not have at least one communications triad on the entire Urchivki capital planet capable of transmitting a message this far? Even more unlikely. So what were the Nicardoon waiting for? Unless the whole thing was just a product of paranoia and imagination. The alien nations out here were always fighting among themselves. Aralani knew that all too well. If the Nicardoon were just some small-time species the Chiss hadn't run across, and their battles were purely local ones...
Those 9 fighters,
Thrawn said, pointing to a group of small ships just coming around the planetary disk.
The craft themselves are a variant of Leo AO in design, but their formation and flight pattern aren't typical.
Maybe they've updated their tactics since the last time you saw them,
Aralani suggested.
No, Thrawn said slowly. Leo AOI like vertical formations. Their artwork clearly shows that. They would normally put 9 ships like that in a 3-stack wedge. This formation is planar and far more spread out.
Aralani nodded. That was definitely not a stacked wedge formation.
Looks like it's designed for a pincer maneuver, too.
Indeed, Thrawn said. Attack, not defense. Again, contrary to the usual Leo Aeoan predisposition. But it's not just the formation. The pilots seem hesitant, somehow. As if this formation is new to them.
Maybe they're fresh recruits.
All 9 of them? Thrawn shook his head. No. Those are one-person gunboats. The Leo AOI would never put that many untried pilots alone without a more experienced ship and crew nearby in case of trouble. Certainly not that deep in the gravity well.
I agree that's how they did things before, Aralani said. But fleets change doctrine all the time. Maybe not this drastically, but they do adjust and adapt to new tech or situations.
This is Leo AOI Orbital Command,
a voice came over the speaker. Aralani blinked. She'd been so focused on the distant ships and Thrawn's analysis that she'd almost forgotten their ostensible purpose for being here.
This is Ambassador Boadil Pargasoy of the Chiss Ascendancy,
Ilparg replied, with all the dignity and arrogance Aralani had come to expect from the diplomatic corps in general, and Ilparg in particular.
I wish to speak to someone in the diplomatic office concerning the aggressive treatment we received a few days ago at the Urchivki capital of Urch.
What makes you think the Leo Aeoan regime has anything to do with the Urchivki?
The voice came back.
There was a Leo Aeoan ship present when the Urchivki attempted to capture our ship,
Ilparg said. Arulani hissed out a breath. What the hell did Ilparg think he was doing? Handing over information like that, especially without getting anything in return, was the height of foolishness.
Ambassador.
No, let him go, Thrawn said, closing a warning hand over her arm. Let's see their reaction to who we are.
Arulani scowled. Yes, that would be Thrawn's plan, giving the Leo Aoi a nudge and seeing how they reacted. All well and good, provided the reaction wasn't to throw everything they had at the intruders. Still, the Vigilant was a fully armed Night Dragon, and they weren't yet too deep into the Heart World's gravity well. No matter what the Leo Aoi had, Arulani had no doubt she could get them out with only minimal damage to her ship. Around the side of one of the blue docks, she saw something move into view, and felt her eyes widen.
Uh-oh,
someone across the bridge breathed. Arulani's hands closed involuntarily into tight fists. It was a warship. A huge warship. Battle dreadnought class, at least. Half again the Vigilant size. Its flanks bristled with weapons clusters. Angular lines marked sections of heavy armor. Tight-spaced patterns of nodes proclaimed the existence of a strong electrostatic barrier. And the overly large bridge viewport, the arrogantly, invitingly overly large viewport, marked it as Nicardoon.
Admiral?
Wootra O asked, a hint of urgency in her voice. Arulani eyed the Nicardoon warship, noting particularly the vectors and positions of the ships around it, then gave the tactical display a long, careful look.
Hold course, she ordered Octremo. They're not making any threatening moves.
That could change at any minute,
Wootra O warned.
No, Thrawn said. They could move to attack mode, but it would take more than simply a minute.
Agreed, Arulani said. At their distance and orientation, any move would be well telegraphed.
Wootra O seemed to brace herself.
Yes, ma'am.
The diplomatic office has no understanding of that which you speak.
A different Leo Aoan voice came over the speaker.
But we welcome the friendship and mutual respect of the Chiss Ascendancy. Will you approach, Ambassador, that we may have a conversation? Or shall we send transport for you?
Ilparg looked back at Arulani.
Admiral? He prompted. We were definitely not moving any closer, Arulani said. And under the circumstances, we're not letting you go in either.
So we're just leaving?
Why not? Arulani said. We've gotten what we came for.
Ilparg frowned.
What exactly did we get?
The presence of a Nicardoon ship, Thrawn said.
Which took no action against us,
Ilparg countered.
And the fact that the Leo Aoi don't want to talk about Urch, Arulani added.
Ilparg snorted.
I believe that's what's known as negative information.
It's still information, Arulani said. Regardless, it's all we're going to get. So offer your apologies, say your farewells. Feel free to translate that into diplomatic speak, and we'll be on our way.
A moment, Admiral, Thrawn said thoughtfully. With your permission, I'd like to run one additional experiment. Those 9 gunboats seem unusually interested in us.
Arulani turned her attention back to the group of small fighters they'd noted earlier. Their pincer formation had opened up a little, but otherwise nothing seemed to have changed. She felt her eyes narrow as she saw what Thrawn was referring to. The formation had opened up because the gunboats had suspended the maneuver they'd been in the middle of and were now drifting, their thrusters quiet, the tidal effects of the planetary gravitational field slowly moving them apart.
At the very least, they're interested in being able to swing into action at a moment's notice, she said. And in any direction.
Exactly, Thrawn said. And I see no reason, other than the vigilant, why they should suddenly be so watchful.
Aralani scratched at her cheek. The Nicardoon battle dreadnought was making no move, but the fighters were in ready position. Someone hedging their bets? Or was it something more interesting? Was it an indication that there were two different chains of command operating? Either way, it was worth exploring further.
I trust whatever you have in mind won't involve the discharge of weapons.
Not at all, Thrawn assured her. I'd simply like to tell them I'm here.
What do you expect that to accomplish?
I don't know. That's why it's an experiment.
She gave him her best strained patience look, but Thrawn's hunches were usually worth chasing down.
Very well. Helm, be ready to turn and get us out of here.
How quickly?
Octremo asked.
Hopefully not very, Aralani said. It looks like they're trying to play innocent, and it would be nice to leave them thinking we'd bought their act. But I want speed and power in reserve if we need it. Skywalker Ciri?
I'm ready,
Ciri said. Her voice was shaking a bit, but the words were firm enough. Aralani gestured to Thrawn.
Ready?
Yes,
he said, taking a step closer to her command chair.
Watch the gunboats.
She nodded and tapped the comm switch.
Go.
This is Senior Captain Thrawn, Ambassador Ilparg's supervisor, Thrawn said. Thank you for your interest, but the Ambassador does not feel prepared at this time for a full diplomatic conversation. The Chiss Ascendancy will be in future communication with you regarding this matter.
The Leo Aowen gave some kind of wordy but mostly meaningless reply. But Aralani wasn't really listening. Seven of the 9 gunboats Thrawn had told her to watch had activated their thrusters at the mention of his name, moving out of formation with their bows, swinging toward the Vigilant. But they'd barely begun their maneuver when they abruptly throttled back, holding their new positions for another moment before dropping back into place with the 2 gunboats that hadn't left their orbits. The whole thing took barely 5 seconds, with all 9 ships back in formation before Thrawn even finished his statement. The half of her brain that was monitoring the conversation recognized that it was over. She tapped the comm switch again and nodded to Octremo.
Take us out, Helm, she ordered. Nice and easy and calm. Skywalker, stand ready.
She turned her attention to the battle dreadnought, wondering if its captain would now decide to drop his own innocent act. But the Nicardoon continued its leisurely orbit as the Vigilant turned and drove back out of the gravity well. Ciri leaned over her control board, and with a burst of star flares, they were back in the safety of hyperspace. Wutro crossed the bridge to Aralani's side.
So what exactly did we learn? She asked. You weren't watching the gunboats?
Aralani asked.
You and Thrawn were watching them. I figured someone ought to keep an eye on the dreadnought. Yes, good thinking.
Aralani looked up at Thrawn.
Your idea, Senior Captain. Go ahead and lay it out.
7 of the 9 gunboats reacted to my name by starting to move toward us,
Thrawn told Wutro.
That suggests both that I'm known to the Nicardoon and that there's some kind of standing order regarding me. But a moment later, all 7 returned to their formation.
So whoever was commanding the fighters was all set to come charging over and avenge the horrible insult you delivered at Rapark,
Wutro said slowly.
Only someone higher in the command chain countermanded the order.
That's how I read it,
Aralani confirmed.
Which immediately implies in turn what I said earlier. Even under provocation, even withstanding orders, They're trying very hard to pretend they're not a threat to us.
One problem,
Utro said, lifting a finger.
I thought we decided the gunboats were Leo Aoing. Why would they care about Thrawn? I mean, aside from the obvious.
Not so obvious anymore, Orlani said. Certainly after all these years, there can't be any standing orders concerning him. At least not from Leo Aoi.
I suppose not,
Utro said.
So?
So we were wrong earlier,
Orlani said, feeling a sense of looming dread.
We thought the Leo Aoi might just be learning new battle tactics. They are, but they're learning them under Nicardoon's supervision.
The Leo Aoi and the gunboats knew the Nicardoon orders concerning me, Thrawn said. The 7 pilots who reacted did so far too quickly for it to be otherwise. Detailed standing orders of that sort aren't typically shared with subjugated peoples. Furthermore, the gunships were armed. Their forward swivel lasers were visible, as were their missile ports. We know from Pakosh that the Nicardoon removed the weapons from their conquered peoples.
Which strongly suggests the Leo Aoi aren't Nicardoon subjects,
Orlani said quietly, gazing out at the roiling hyperspace swirl.
They're allies.
For a moment, none of them spoke. Then, Utro huffed out a breath.
Great,
she said.
So now what?
We need more information, Thrawn said. Admiral, can you divert the Vigilant to Solitaire before returning to the Ascendancy?
Absolutely not,
Ilparg said firmly, striding up to them.
First the Leo Aoin regime, now you want me to go to the Garwian Unity? How many ways are you trying to get yourself in trouble?
He turned his glare onto Thrawn.
Never mind you. How many ways are you trying to get me into trouble? I'm already far removed from my mandate.
Your position and mandate aren't the issues here, Ambassador,
Orlani said, studying Thrawn's face.
The Vigilant is my ship, and it goes where I order it. If I decide there's data to be gathered, I'm obligated to follow through on it.
Not if the Sindicure declares your decisions improper,
Ilparg warned.
If that happens, so be it,
Orlani said.
But even the Syndics have only limited authority over a senior fleet officer.
There should be only minimal trouble for either of you, Thrawn said. I can take a shuttle in while the Vigilant returns to the Ascendancy. That should add only a few hours to your travel time.
You don't want us to wait?
Orlani asked, frowning.
What if the Garwians don't want to talk to you?
I believe they will, Thrawn said. If I may ask a favor, Admiral, I'd like to borrow your office for the next hour or two.
Of course, Orlani said. Take all the time you need. Kekevithelius, bring Skywalker Ciri out of Third Sight as soon as it's convenient and safe. She's to then reroute us to the Garwian capital planet of Solitaire.
Yes, Admiral, Thelius said.
She hadn't missed a word of the discussion, Orlani could see. But she showed no inclination to question the decision.
It'll be a few more minutes before Ciri can be disturbed.
At your own timing and judgment, caregiver,
Orlani assured her.
Captain Thrawn, my office is yours.